He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. So easily said, sometimes not easily believed. Many of us have had instances in our lives where we have had classmates or friends, maybe neighbors, childhood friends, or relationships at one point of our lives. And as time goes on, something happens and they're out of our lives or we're out of their lives and we have not seen them for years or maybe ever again. And as we're talking, we wonder, whatever became of that fellow? Whatever became of that woman? I wonder whatever became of them. In the same way, many people, once they've celebrated Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead, stop at that point and don't hear from Jesus again. And in many cases, they feel the same, whatever became of that Jesus fellow. When Jesus rose from the dead, He didn't just rise from the dead and go to heaven never again to be seen. Jesus went to work immediately, doing exactly what He had done all through His life, teaching about the good news, teaching about repentance and salvation, and revealing Himself as the promised Messiah. Jesus went on to reveal Himself to all people, and still does today, but many say, what became of that Jesus fellow? What became of Him? There were many resurrection appearances over the 40 days after that first day of the week. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, some other women, to Peter, to the Emmaus disciples on the road to Emmaus. On that same day to 10 disciples. A week later, He appeared to 11 disciples. He appeared to 7 disciples in Galilee. 500 people that were gathered at one time in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us. He appeared to James, the brother of Jesus, in 1 Corinthians. In Galilee, in Matthew and Mark, it tells us He appeared to 11 disciples. And then finally in Jerusalem 40 days later when He was taken up into heaven. He was in the business of revealing Himself, assuring us that He was alive, that He was not dead. In this particular case today, it was on the same day, that first day of the week, the same day that the women had seen Him in the morning, and seen the empty tomb, I should say, in the morning, and saw that He was not there. Two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and they were talking to each other about all these things that had happened. Okay? Jesus came and walked along with them, but they didn't recognize Him. And He asked them concerning what they were discussing. And there they were downcast, they were depressed. They lost hope because this man whom they had hoped was the one that was going to redeem Israel was dead. Now it's been 3 days and they haven't seen Him. He's dead. He's gone. He's gone. And Jesus begins a conversation with them. And He says, what things are you talking about? And they said, about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests and the rulers handed Him over to be crucified. And then, what's worse, it's the third day and we've not seen Him. In fact, some of our women went to the tomb and they didn't find body to make matters worse. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said He was alive, and some of the companions went to the tomb and they found it was as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus' body. And Jesus says, oh, come on, you guys. Come on, you guys, how foolish. And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. This is exactly what the prophets had foretold He was telling them. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So you see, first of all, he was speaking to them. He was walking and talking with them in an unusual place at an unusual time. And he continues to do that today. He will come into our lives in the most unusual place at the most unusual time and speak to our minds and speak to us. He came challenging their faith and questioning them. This is the part we don't often like. When Jesus comes into our lives, He's right in front of us. He's speaking in a certain way. But our faith is being challenged. We're being questioned. And we back off. Say, I don't want anything to do with that. And thirdly, and most importantly, He's using God's Word. And this is absolutely essential to understanding Jesus when He comes into our lives and reveals Himself to us. Afterwards, they reached Emmaus. And it was through the sacrament of communion that they recognized Him and realized who He was. As oftentimes when we have this communion here, there's just something about seeing the juice and feeling and tasting the bread. That Jesus said, I did this for you. Later that evening, in John chapter 20, the disciples were together with the doors locked. Jesus came and was with them, revealing Himself. Days later, a miraculous catch of fish is recorded in John chapter 21. Jesus revealed His miraculous powers to them. He was in the business of revealing Himself to all people while He was on earth, before His resurrection, after His resurrection, and today, through the promised person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus still reveals Himself to all people. Remember, He told His disciples, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom My Father will send in My name, comes, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You see, this is the key. When He speaks to us today, He reminds us of what He's already said to us. He reminds us. Paul describes this in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, testifies with our spirit. Some say, well, He never speaks to me. How come He doesn't speak to me? He speaks to everyone in some way or another, calling them to follow Him. He speaks to them to teach all people to obey Him. He speaks in different ways. He speaks at different times. He speaks in different places. In my personal calling into pastoral ministry, I learned how this works. As many of you know, He began speaking to me in dreams. In the fall, late year of 1999, through dreams, I turned to Job 33 to see, could this be God speaking to me? Or was it my imagination? Or was it my emotions? Job 33 describes God as God speaking. Now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. He speaks in a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds. And I began to realize that He was speaking to me. So I started to listen. I started to open my ears and talking to people. And it was amazing the way He spoke through people that I would not have expected. And to some of them, I expressed the burden this put on my heart of leaving all behind to follow the Lord. And the Lord spoke His word out of the mouths of people that would say things to me like, but don't you remember the disciples had to lay down their nets and follow Jesus? He began speaking to me through songs, various songs that I would listen to on Christian radio. Then one day, in that fall, we went to see Dr. David Jeremiah. Dr. David Jeremiah is on Christian radio here locally at 12:30 every day. Maybe many of you have listened to him. I had the opportunity to meet him one night over near Scranton, and I had my Bible with me, and he signed my Bible, and in my Bible he wrote Psalm 37. He did not know me or know my life, but he wrote Psalm 37. One particular day when I was struggling with my calling, I was on my way to the village of Eaglesmere to do some landscape work in the fall. I was listening to David Jeremiah on the radio. And he began his radio program that day by saying, I'm going to preach from one of my favorite scripture readings, Psalm 37. And I perked up. And I listened. And I listened. And I began to hear the Lord's voice. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And it went on and on and on to teach about trusting in the Lord and being patient with the Lord. And that was exactly what I needed that day. And the Lord spoke that over my radio in my old Ford pickup truck that day. He speaks in many ways, at many places, at many times when we need it most. You know, many of you here this morning, some of you guys are hunters, turkey hunters. You go out in the woods to hunt turkey and you talk to them, don't you? Because you want to call them in. So you talk to them. Now, you wouldn't use this to hunt ducks with, would you? If you wanted to call ducks in, you'd go out into the woods along the stream. And that's what you use to call a duck in. The other day, as I was out walking and calling, I called some ducks in. A duck flew over me. You know what they did? I thought how they are so like human beings. They got all roused up by the calling and by the sound. So they started flying in to investigate. And when they realized that I wasn't what they were looking for, they kept on flying and they flew away. A lot of people are like that with Jesus. They hear Him calling, they get all worked up and all emotional, they come on the scene, you see Him in church for a few Sundays, and all of a sudden, Jesus isn't just what they're looking for, so they fly away and you never see Him again. Right? This particular call is a pheasant call. This is a call you use when you're pheasant hunting. You go into the field, and what this is to do is to mimic the rising cackle of a rooster, a ring-neck rooster. And what it does in getting the rooster to cackle, he reveals his location and you know where to go to get him. So many, many different ways that we call audibly. And Jesus uses many ways through people we know, through songs, through sermons, in all those ways. Some of you react to visual callings. This happens to be a flyer for those of you who love to sew from Joanne Fabrics. You probably get these. Boy, do they ever call you in, don't they? They call you in through the visual calling. Some of you like shoes. You get those shoes from Payless. Boy, there's a sale at Payless. I gotta go. Through the visual calling of human beings. For the hunters, the visual is the decoy. You don't put a duck decoy out there for a turkey and call the turkey, and the turkey says, hey, that's a duck, that's not a turkey. And they leave. You see, in many ways, Jesus calls us in and reveals Himself to us. He does it in a physical way, in that the child whose knee is skinned runs to the parent with so much more passion, with so much more desperation and need, and so much more assurance that parent can heal their wound. You see what I'm saying? Physically, people say to me, why is God allowing this to happen? Well, did you ever stop to think, maybe it's time to run to Him, crying out with all your worth for the skinned knee? The difference with Jesus and the turkey or the duck hunters is that Jesus doesn't call us in to kill us. He calls us in to give us life. He calls us in to prosper us. He calls us in to keep us safe and to show us the way. And He isn't camouflaged. He's shouting our name saying, here I am. He's shouting our name from the Word, from His Word here. He's waving His arms through a friend that's saying something to you, and he's teaching his will through the preacher preaching the word. He speaks through devotions. He speaks through other human beings. He speaks through songs. He speaks through books. He speaks through the sacraments. He speaks through miracles. He speaks through our activities of life. Every single day, he is in the business of revealing his presence in the world and in us. And though what became of Jesus is that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, he still is revealing himself to us through the Holy Spirit. If you don't hear him, stop and listen. If you don't see him, look for him. If you don't feel him, pause for a moment and close your eyes. Remember the signs at the train crossings? Stop, look, and listen. The problem is our world isn't stopping long enough to look and listen. And like a bunch of banshees, we go across the crossing and along comes the train of life and down we go. We have to stop and look and listen. He is in our world. He is all around us, speaking to us, calling us, teaching us. And I want to say this morning, don't be a turkey. Don't be foolish. Don't be slow to believe that Jesus is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen Messiah. I like the song Jesus is Calling from Hebrews chapter 4. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will you roam farther and farther away? Jesus is calling weary to rest. Calling today. Bring him your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn you away. Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to him now. Waiting today. Come with your sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Wow, that's a big one. Bowing at the feet of Jesus. Boy, that takes a lot of guts. That takes a lot of courage. Bow at none other than the feet of a Galilean carpenter. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice. Hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Jesus is truly alive in our world. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And he walks with each one of you. And talks with each one of you. Stop, look, and listen. You will see him. You will hear him. And you will know that it's him. In unusual places and unusual times, challenging your faith, questioning you, but using God's word. How do we know it's Jesus? Jesus will never contradict this. When he speaks, open your Bible. And you will hear him, you'll see him, and you will truly know that he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. God, our Father, we pray that you open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to Jesus as he reveals himself to us every day of our lives. May his presence be more of a reality now than it was that day on the road to Emmaus in our own lives, that we might not be foolish and slow to believe, but we might truly know he lives. In Christ's name, amen. Let us stand together as we close with 407. 407. And again, I remind you to stay and celebrate with Alice her wonderful birthday.